Thanks, Chuck. I appreciate that. Thanks for reading the notes that I sent ahead. But you left your last page up here, Chuck. It says that Pastor Terry is tall and handsome and wonderfully educated. Actually, there's a whole list of wonderful things about Terry. There are so many. So I'll make sure you get that later. Tonight, this isn't so much a time to sit and listen. If you've paid attention to TED Talks ever before, they're well-rehearsed, scripted, and memorized to go the 17 minutes without error, almost. This is not that. We're going to do some sharing. We're going to spend some time talking. It's kinetic learning. We're actually going to get up and move. We're going to do some of those things tonight, all to get at the point of being comfortable with being uncomfortable. So I want you to know my style a little bit. Dialogue is preferred. I want you to be able to talk back. If there's a question in the air, don't be afraid to answer it. Just shout it out, stand in your chair, whatever you need to do, because it's dialogue. I think learning happens best in dialogue, better than monologue. So pay attention if there's a question. In fact, we'll practice in just a second. And it will give you a chance to stretch. It will make our 3 hours seem closer to an hour. It'll just feel really good. So I'm excited that you're here. You've heard a little bit about me, and it's true. I'm a pastor, and I'm not a native to Michigan. We moved here almost 25 years ago from Chicago to be a pastor at another church in Hudsonville, and I've lived in the same house for almost that whole amount of time, and I live just down the street from you, right here in Georgetown Forest. So it's a privilege to be in your space, in your house. And so thanks for inviting me tonight. Let me know a little bit about you guys. How many of you are from this congregation, Georgetown CRC, by show? Wow, all but like one of you. That's pretty good. How many of you live right around here in the community? All right, nearly a half. How many of you don't go to Georgetown CRC? You just built? Yeah, me too. A couple of us. Hey. And so thank you for letting us be a part of your journey. Together we're on that journey with the classes, right? This Rev Talks. And I'm glad it is your air conditioning went out this afternoon for a while, because it's like TED Talks, only warmer. And it is that in here tonight. So if you're ready to begin, just say yes. All right, for the 9 of you who didn't say anything, just hang on, you'll be there in a second, all right? But don't be afraid to just shout it out when I ask you a question. In fact, remember I said we were going to move? In about 48 seconds, I'm going to ask you to do 3 things. I'm going to ask you to get up, find the person that you know the least in the room, and give them a huge, long, lingering hug. You're there now. Hi, welcome to the room. So what are you feeling right now? Talk to me. What are you feeling and thinking right now when someone says to you, in the space that you're used to sitting here and listening to a monologue, how do you think? How do you feel right now? Go ahead, say some of those words. Nervous, uncomfortable. Hey, you're in the right spot. What else? There, there you go. There's a gregarious extrovert. He goes, yes, I get to meet people. There's a line in the movie Up. A dog actually spoke the line, but he goes, I just met you and I love you. You know that line? There is something about what we're going to do here today that will make us feel uncomfortable. But it is my goal that for those of you who in this moment, you want to leave the room because the threat of being uncomfortable, even to that bit of a degree, gives you some anxiety. It makes your blood pressure go up a little bit. But today, I think we're going to focus on this one thought, that the mere experience of being uncomfortable often stops us from trying or doing what we really want to do. It's a stopper. The level of uncomfort that we feel stops us from those things, and we naturally avoid being uncomfortable. So tonight, we're going to talk about those moments where it feels like we're the next one in line at Cedar Point to be on the Top Thrill Dragster. Does anybody know about that dragster? The one that shoots you out and launches you straight up, like 9,000 feet or whatever it is. You know that moment where your heart and your mind are racing, but your feet are frozen, and you're like a statue, and you know that something's about to happen to you, but you're not willing to step into it? That's what we're going to talk about tonight, just for a little while. I did a little research about things that make us uncomfortable. I have, besides a master's in divinity, I also have degrees in psychology and sociology, so I did a little psychological research on things that make us uncomfortable, and even I found that tedious. I thought, well, I could read a couple things from you to you tonight, and it's like, oh man, I don't even enjoy reading this stuff to myself. So I went on a different website. It's Quora.com. It's a place where people ask answers and other people answer them. And so it's kind of the street talk, the street language for things that make us uncomfortable, and they got to the same point as this massive psychological review based on research. So Quora.com asked the question, what things make people feel uncomfortable? Someone writes, life is full of awkward and uncomfortable moments. We can't avoid them altogether, but we can handle them with grace. Here are 10 situations we might struggle with. What do you think the first one on the list was? Yep, making small talk, believe it or not, and dealing with awkward silence. Whether you're at a party among strangers or there's a long lull in a conversation among people that you might even know, silence is deafening. Everyone wants to be more interesting in their conversations or at least avoid the awkward ones. And the key, as you might guess, is to come prepared, to have a plan, to store up some good go-to stories. Some people call it the Ford method. And I'm a Ford guy, so that's not what it is, though. Ford is family, occupation, recreation, and desires or dreams. Things to talk about. Mary Todd Allen, she's a self-proclaimed consummate people watcher. She's authored 235 of these Quora pages. 216.7 thousand people look at her stuff. And she writes this, when a situation makes us uncomfortable, we should ask why. Are you uncomfortable because you don't feel competent or skilled in this arena? Have you had past bad experiences similar to this? And before you write off a discomforting situation, ask yourself, is this an opportunity to gain a new skill or to test yourself in some new way? And I thought, Mary Todd Allen, thank you, because exactly where we want to go tonight. By knowing some things ahead of time, having some skills, a few things in our pocket, we will learn to be comfortable when we were uncomfortable. So let's change our reality. Let's learn to do that new thing. In fact, here's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to survive something uncomfortable. I promise you'll survive. I've done this a bunch of times. Very few people didn't make it, all right? We'll create a plan to be comfortable, and then you'll be encouraged to actually go and do it, to get what you really want. And what we're going to learn tonight is applicable in so many arenas. It just doesn't matter where you use this, but we're going to end tonight in the scripture, and it's going to be powerful about what that will do for us and for our churches. All right, so talk to me again. If you're ready to jump in, say, sure, why not? All right, here we go. You might want to change your answer, but here we go. Think about a time when you are most uncomfortable or embarrassed. Just think about it. Go to that moment a minute. Get some of those images back in your mind. Maybe it was a social interaction or it was something professionally or personally. You have to be able to share it because you're going to share it. All right? So if it's something you can't share, file that one away for later for the family reunion at Thanksgiving when you're embarrassed. What is something that you could even share tonight? I thought about what I would share if I were in your seat, and I remember a time I was a freshman in college. I went to Dort College in Sioux Center, Iowa, and I grew up in Southern California, and I worked constructions doing flat work during the summer, pouring driveways and sidewalks and tennis courts, those kinds of things. And my mom and dad were salesmen, salespeople, and they would often have sales leader events in their homes, And they had a formal living room, dining room area off of the kitchen and the regular family room place where the fireplace was, and they would often, around this glass table in the blue walls, host these sales leaders. And I came home from work one afternoon, and I'm just covered with dirt, my shoes, everything, and like a good Dutch son, I left my clothes where they should be, not in the house. I knew that there was an appointment, and so I came in the house, and in the laundry room, all my clothes were in a pile, as they should be, and I looked around, and there was no one in the front room. I thought, all right, we're in. I came further around where there's this big window that looks out into the front yard, and I peeled back the drape, and there were no cars, nobody at all, and I moved over past this 12-foot window, and I got almost to the hallway where the bedrooms were, and all of a sudden, there's applause and laughter from the table. they were all sitting there, and I made a grand entrance into their professional business meeting, and in that moment, I employed everything I remember from second grade. When there's an emergency, stop, drop, and roll. That's what I did. Maybe you have an embarrassing moment that you can share with someone, so here's what we're going to do. You're going to find somebody. You're going to find a person maybe that you know very little or not at all, and you're going to share your story. Really, you're going to do this. You're going to get up. You see, he's leaving the room. He says, I'm out. You're going to find somebody, and you're going to say, hi, my name is, can I tell you my story? The other person has to say yes. If you don't say yes, this whole thing isn't going to work. All right? So you share your story, and then person two thanks them. Thanks for saying that. My name is Bob, or whatever it is, and can I tell you my story? And you reciprocate. Well, sure. And then you share those stories real quick, and at the end, person two says, thank you so much. Can I hug you? And then the person says, yeah, if you dare. All right? So get up, find somebody that you don't know very well, roll over to them, walk over to them, whatever it is, take 60 seconds and tell them your story. I'll call you back when I think you're done. All right, if you're done telling your stories, find a seat. And don't forget to hug. Make it a good hug. Not like you're at Meijer. All right. So how did it go? Let's talk a little bit. How did it go? I mean, was the hardest part deciding who person one would be to tell the story first? Sometimes it goes that way. What was the best part? What was the hardest part of that?
Getting good
Couldn't think of a good embarrassing moment in my life. Those are the best adjectives, good embarrassing. I love you, you're awesome. Yeah, it's hard to think about those things, isn't it? Because we put them away, right? We try and avoid or keep them out of our memories, right? Yeah, what else? What was the best part? What was the hardest part? Hugging a stranger, yeah. Bill's a good hugger. Yeah, he is. Yeah, for sure. If you're not a hugger, touch is really, really hard. Yep. What else? What was the best part?
You heard a great story.
You heard a great story. Awesome. Yeah, they let you in. That's really cool. Yeah. Sweet. What else? Who else had a best part?
I met a new person.
You met a new person?
Yeah, she's from the other church down the road.
Nice. So were they a baby, like a new person, or? Oh, new to you. Yeah, yeah. I'm just being dumb. Yeah, yeah. That's good. Yeah. It's kind of the whole point, isn't it? It's like you wrote this. Did you write this? I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? Engage those things that might keep us from meeting new people. I mean, that's really what we're talking about tonight. Good. What else? What else was either your best part or your hardest part of that experience? Yeah? Yeah. Sharing the vulnerable part, she said. Yeah. Those can be difficult things, right? Or finding the story that you're willing to share. Maybe part of your story is that you've shared before and it came back to bite you, and so you wonder, is there a safe embarrassment to share? Yeah, all those things, right? Yeah, it's kind of a big deal. I want to celebrate with you. I want to celebrate who you are today. You stayed in the room when I told you that in 48 seconds I was going to ask you to do something difficult. You didn't leave. You stayed in the room when I asked you to get up and find the person that you knew the least in the room, tell them something vulnerable or embarrassing about yourself, and then you hugged them? I want to celebrate you because you just survived one of the hardest social experiences in our society, to meet someone new, to talk to them about yourself, and to touch them. You did it. I want to applaud you. In fact, applaud everybody sitting around you. Just give them a round of applause, because they did it. You survived something uncomfortable. You know, the things that make us feel uncomfortable, like meeting people or having conversations or sharing about ourselves or really listening when someone else is sharing. Anybody experience that a little bit where, you know, oh man, what did I just say? What did they hear? Now all these emotions that I have, and it keeps us from listening sometimes. When someone else is sharing, we should listen. Maybe those are some of the hardest things that we do interpersonally, and it's uncomfortable. And because of that, we don't do it often. We would rather not be uncomfortable, so we don't engage those things. Here's some examples. We shy away from the lunchroom table where someone is already seated that we don't know. It's true at school and even at work. Or introducing yourself to someone new. There was a little peer pressure to do it anyway tonight, right? But if you were out in society or where you worked, maybe you wouldn't do it because you don't know their name or you don't know what to say. And it's hard to ask good questions. It's really hard to be interesting. We're afraid that we'll fumble or not know something about what they ask us. So we either go to those people we already know, those people we're already comfortable with, or if we are forced to be in a situation, maybe we'll just do it quickly. Look at our phones or eat fast or keep our head down. And sometimes we just won't even go at all to that work party or that social event or that church event or that new thing, that new small group that someone's throwing at their house. We just won't go because it's so uncomfortable. We would rather be comfortable. So we go to what we know, the places we know, the people we know. We even drive the same way because we're comfortable and familiar. We sit in the same seats. Does anybody have the same seat in worship? Anybody else? I do, logistically. It's easier if I don't sit in the back. But I also prefer the front. You know, when I worship hands up, I don't smack too many people. We avoid discomfort in restaurants. We avoid embarrassment because we don't want to look dumb. We just don't. No one wants to be made to feel awkward. Can I have your permission? Say yes if you'll allow me to do this. Can I have your permission to be brutally honest with us in this moment? Say yes if that's okay.
Yes.
If not, then just look up Psalter hymnal number 398 and read the words. But, you know, I've been doing this a long time, pastoring. I've been ordained for just 15 years, but have been, I graduated from Calvin some, you know, 30 some years ago. I've observed over the years that we won't even ask someone's name after we've sat in worship near them for a few months. That I'm embarrassed that if I have to ask you again what your name is, so I just stop addressing you. And I've seen it time and time again because we don't want to look dumb or feel uncomfortable. And I, let me see a hand. Has anybody else ever done that or seen that before? It happens, doesn't it? So what we're talking about is not irrelevant to us. It's true in our community and worship, and it's true in our community and society where we go. Studies have shown that once a person becomes a Christian, within 2 years, all of their friends are Christians. We migrate to the center of being comfortable with people that we know. We get comfortable, and listen to this, we stop building new relationships. We can actually stop becoming a disciple, building new relationships, that is, because we prefer comfort. We hate being uncomfortable, so we don't go to the new table, we don't do the new thing, we don't reach out to someone new. And even if you've lived here as long as I have, and some of you have been here way longer, my wife and I had the privilege to carpool home from work the other day. Her car was in the shop getting brakes, and so I picked her up, and we drove home, and we stopped at the stoplight right here at Port Sheldon and 28th. And we came up just as the light was red, so we got to sit through all the cycles, and we noticed that we didn't know one person who lived 3 miles from our house that drove through that intersection. And we've lived here for 24 years. It is just amazing how many new opportunities there are. And if I'm not going to get out of my car and stop people down and say, hey, do you need a friend? That's not what I'm talking about. The only point I'm saying is that there are people in our community that we don't know. But we run with those we're comfortable with, and so it feels like we know everyone, because that's where we hang out. But we can change that. We can learn to be comfortable in an experience of being uncomfortable. We can. So I want you to take up your handout real quick, and if you don't have one, I have some extras. Just help me out. Take up your handout and something to write with, and you're going to want to be on the side with the blue and green boxes. That's where you're going to want to be. Anybody else? Oh, I have more. Hang on. I gave this guy like 19. Here we go. Uno más. Yeah, I'll see if I have more. Here we go. Does anybody else have an extra one? Because it'd be nice if everybody had one. Bill has one. Does anybody else need one? Just raise your hand real quick if you do. Over there, Bill, right in front of the sound booth. Can you help me out? Thanks, buddy. Bill has a servant's heart. I've known him for a long time. So it's not hard to ask him to do that. Thank you, sir. So we can change some of our reality that we just talked about, that there are people in our community who we don't know, and it's possible for us to live into Acts 17, where it says that God has ordained where you'll live and when you'll live there so that some people might reach out and be saved. And it is a part of our objective tonight to learn how to be comfortable doing that. So, it didn't go forward here. In the lines, on the lines, those six lines on the outside margins, on the left and the right margin, see those? Here's what I want you to write. Those places where you hang out, those natural spheres of influence where you currently connect with people, like a neighborhood association or a bowling league or a book club, or maybe you're in a biking group or a hiking group. My wife, we're in a summer walking group with the counties of Allegan and Ottawa this summer, and we got to meet hundreds and hundreds of people. Maybe you're part of the chamber like I am, and you go to open houses and events, and you just meet people who you wouldn't otherwise know. A school or a family group or the historical society. Help me out here a little bit. What are some of the places where you guys are involved? Your communities, your spheres of influence.
Pickleball.
Pickleball, yeah. Pickleball, golf leagues.
Golf.
Pardon?
Golf.
Yes, golf leagues. Yes, for sure.
Just golfing.
Yeah. If you're part of a Jeep club or a 4x4 club, a library society, anything. Those places where you hang out, where you naturally connect with people currently. Take a minute and see if you can fill in all six. If you can't, some people only fill out four or whatever, because that's just the way they roll. But I'll give you a minute to do that. If I showed you my paper, it would say on there family. Family's a really, really big deal to me. Certainly my church family. And my wife, her name is Cheryl. We try and get involved in community events, and so we go to things. One of the things we want to do this winter is, what is it called? Something about the top of Holland or above Holland. And you can go through all the architectural buildings. They give you a walking tour. And we do that, and part of it is we enjoy that, but part of it is we get to meet people. Yeah. Anybody need a minute? Okay, we're just going to keep rolling because these are really easy exercises. Places where you already hang out. Jot a few things down. The green boxes next to that, there's six of them, one by each of those lines. That's for who do you know in those circles? Who do you know? Just jot some names down. Lois, Alice, Bobby, Frank. You know their names. If you don't know their names, maybe it's just plaid shirt guy because you haven't met him yet, you know, or tall, handsome, gray-bearded preacher, you know. Well, that describes a lot of us, but see what I did there? I made it really awkward.
I know.
Maybe that wasn't supposed to be funny. Maybe it's going to make sense later. Just jot some names down of some people you know. One or two at least in all of those six or every place that you wrote down a sphere of influence where you hang out. Maybe you go for coffee. I have a friend. He lives in a condo and there's an association and he's kind of the organizer of that association and they meet in the mowing shed every morning for coffee. They just make 30 cups and whoever wants to show up does. And he has quite a ministry. Yeah. Where do you hang out? Who do you hang out with? And if you're far enough, put a circle around or a little asterisk by or underline the names of people in your groups who you don't know if they know Jesus. Maybe you know for sure. Maybe you don't know if they have a church home or if they've ever met Jesus personally or professed him as Lord and Savior. Just make a little mark by their name of some kind so you can think about them. If you think you're done, just look up and then I'll know. If you need a minute, just look down and then I'll give us a minute. If you think you did a really good job, just smile at me when you look at me. Oh man, you guys are awesome. Just for fun, while some of the people are trying to remember those names and all that, I don't know about you, I'm 56, names are hard. What are some of the places where y'all hang out? Somebody said golfing. Here? Are you like in a society, a group, or study, or a ministry here?
Praise team.
Praise team? Yeah, so that's a natural sphere of influence. Yeah, okay. Where else?
Summer
park, you said?
Yeah,
Winter park. Yeah, oh, and winter park? You have both, a summer park and a winter park. I have a summer backyard and a winter backyard. Is it the same? No. Okay, in a condo association. Yeah, so you have those places. So there are people in those communities. Where else? Where else do y'all on this side? Where else do you hang out? In a cul-de-sac. Oh, that's a nice way to identify community. Cul-de-sacs can be tight, or it can be really, really bad, but it could be really, really good. Where else? One more person from this side.
A cottage,
yeah. And is it on a lake? So you know some of the people? Is there an association that cares for that lake? So do you have some natural reasons to bump into each other? Just neighborhood stuff. Good. How many of you were able, by show of hands, how many of you are able to put a name in summer, most of those circles? Some people you know in your spheres. Let me see it. This side's killing it. You guys are awesome. And how about that third part? to put a little line, an asterisk or a star, by somebody who doesn't know Jesus that you know. Anybody have any of those? Yeah, a few? Amazing. That's good stuff. This is where it really gets fun. You know some places where you hang out. You know some people in those places you hang out. In the bottom, you're going to see some light blue squares. There might be half a dozen of them. There are some things that you like to do. This may not be related to those things that we already did. Maybe it's brand new. Maybe it's absolutely the same. But what are some things you like to do? What's your affinity? Like if you had a day off, you know, so I still have a boss, right? What if your boss gave you a day off and said, you know, hey, here's some cash. Go do whatever you wanted. What's that thing? You know, would it? I love auto shows. I love backyard barbecues. Last summer and this summer, I built an 8x8x8 fire pit, all bricked in, and now I just got to build the fire pit itself so we could hang out and have the neighbors over to do that. I have an F-150, and when my son was living at home, he also had an F-150, a 79, and all of his friends with trucks were always at our house. So we always had to have wax and pop, and I said, anytime you bring a Little Caesars for $5, I'll buy it. And so everybody was always over, and I think we kept Little Caesars in business for 4 years. But that was the deal. You know, those are the things that I like. I like barbecues and campfires and working on, you know, detailing trucks and stuff like that. I used to have a detailing business. What are some of the things that y'all like to do just for fun that you would invite maybe somebody to go do with you? Pardon? Hiking? Yeah, good, thank you. Yeah, really, that's good relational stuff. Yeah? Say it again? Celtic music sessions. Celtic music sessions, yes. Oh, the harmonies, what? Okay.
Service around the church?
Yep, doing service projects, whether it's around the church or wherever, yep. One more. Something that you would like to do, your affinity, your thing that you could say, hey, I don't know, what's your name? Bill, say, Bill, I'm going to go do this thing. Can you come along? What's one more thing that you would want to do and you'd bring somebody with you?
Make a water washing.
Pardon?
Make a water washing.
Make?
Make them.
Make
them? Auto auction.
Auto auction. Oh, I thought you said auto washing. I thought you said make them auto washing. I thought, wow, that sounds like a job. Make them auto auction. Fun stuff. I've been down to the one on 100th and 131. So, yeah. I love auto auctions. Good stuff. So you have some things that you like to do, right? And so now what I want you to do is something really hard. I want you to draw a line. Draw a line from one of those names that has an asterisk by it or a circle around it, somebody that you think might be disconnected, and draw a line down to one of those boxes that you just wrote. The purpose there is, who could I bring to something that I like to do? Who could I invite to go with me to the auto auction or the show or to my campfire? Who could I bring along? It's hard. When we started Alive Ministries 8 years ago in my living room, there were 7 of us. And this is what we talked about every day. Who do I know that's disconnected that I can be praying about so that I can invite them along? How can I build a relationship with somebody new? And you know, it's harder after 8 years because my life is consumed today. Sometimes with managing, sometimes with preparing or preaching. It's harder to build relationships than when there was only 7 of us. I want you to know that. So I'm with you. I'm in the same boat as you. The longer I'm in this, the harder it is. But I'm going to ask you to do one more thing, and then we're going to wrap it up with some scripture. And this is the hardest part. I'm not going to ask you to get up and hug somebody or dance in the pew or aisle. It's not that. It's not embarrassing. It's just hard. Turn your paper over, and you'll see an ILG, yes? This is all about, what do I say? You see, it would be absolutely inappropriate for me to let you be dismissed right now, to say, all right, you know some places where you hang out, and you know some people in those places, and you know some things that you could do to invite them. Now, God bless you, go do that. Because it wouldn't be equipping for probably the hardest part, and that is to actually go up to that person and talk to them. So we're gonna disassemble that moment into just three little pieces. And I promise you that in less than 22 minutes when you walk out of this room, you will have a confidence gifted to you by the Holy Spirit, because you'll know what to say to begin a relationship. And it starts with the I. The I on the top of that page is simply introduce yourself. I said it was going to be really hard. That doesn't sound so hard, but it is, isn't it? To walk up to somebody that you don't even know and say, hi, my name is. And we know the answer to that one. All of you should know the answer to that one, but it's hard to follow up on that, right? So think about how you would finish that sentence. Hi, my name is, and you're going to be in a context. You're going to be in one of those spheres of influence with maybe some people you already know their name, maybe you don't. Or you're going to be in a place to talk to someone new. Maybe it's in your neighborhood association. I live right here in Georgetown Forest, the last house before you go into the park, right? Into Rush Creek Park, the driving entrance. On Bridgeport Drive, that's my house. I have so many cars and moms of baseball players, and I don't get in their way at all. I mean, they're on a mission. But we have the stroller brigade every spring, and we have 1,000 dogs go past our house every day. We actually poured a patio in our front yard, and we have really nice chairs out there. We sit there every day, and we talk to people. I'll tell you a story about that in a minute. But maybe it's your neighborhood, and you'd say, hi, my name's Terry. Welcome to the neighborhood. We have some new people who just moved in Kitty Corner, and as soon as they kind of find their feet a little bit, I think they're in and out just moving stuff, I don't know from where, we already have the bread that we're going to bring to them. Hi, I noticed that you're new to the neighborhood, or I noticed that you have kids, or you like to play frisbee. There's a frisbee golf course in my park. It's not my park, but you know. Or, man, this is the most awesome Jeep I've ever seen, and you drive past here every day, and you find an affinity, something to talk about, and we have a cookout coming up at our house, and would you like to join us? You know, we got some friends just going to hang around the fire on Saturday night, and the gate will be open. Just walk in, bring your friends, whatever you want to do. Alive Ministries did that this summer. We encouraged, invited, and asked people to just have summer fires, and to invite their neighbors and use their small groups to bring other people. And the coolest thing happened, I'll tell you one story. One small group got together and they all brought their friends, and one person invited all their neighbors. And after the small group, it was late enough, the small group people, it's time to go home, whatever. The neighbors stayed and talked with that homeowner for hours. And in about the second hour, all of a sudden the real stuff started to come out. There's something about, hey, just, we're having a campfire, come on over. It sounds really dumb, but it's amazing what God can do. Or maybe it's at work. You say, hey, Dave, how are things this quarter? Or hey, Bob, I noticed that you had to fly out to Denver to do that thing. How was it? Did you like Denver? I've never been there, but I've heard that they have this or whatever. Or music. You know, I heard this song, and someone else is listening to the same kind of music, and you go, oh, man, that's my favorite kind of music. There's this one song in the genre that does this, and so I'm going to let you in my life a little bit. I like to listen to Justin Bieber a little bit. See, now none of you are ever going to come and hear me preach, right? But he has this song that makes me laugh, and, you know, is it too late to say I'm sorry, or to say sorry, right? It's the dumbest line ever, but I use it all the time because I'm married, and you're there now, aren't you? Yeah, it takes a second. But here's the truth, right? Regardless of the kind of song you listen to, maybe music is your thing, and you say, wow, this line just really grabbed me, and, you know, it's hard for me to apologize sometimes, and, you know, I've been married for 33 years, and we're still working on it, and then maybe that guy goes, me too. And it just started with that one little thing. Or maybe it's an affinity. You like mountain biking, and you get to the end of the trail, and wow, what a great trail this was. Hi, I'm Terry. Have you ever been on this trail before? And they're going to go, hi, my name's Bob. And no, I haven't. But, and you know, all of a sudden, there's this conversation in the air. And so you could talk about those things. All you have to do, listen, you know where you're going to hang out. So you can guess the kinds of conversations you're going to have if you're a builder. It's going to be about those things. Maybe there's a whole new kind of air hammer that no one's ever used. It's self-loading. I don't know. And all of a sudden you talk about these things. I was pumping gas last week Thursday at the Speedway on Baldwin, And myself and another guy shared the same pump. I was on one side, he was on the other. And I pulled up, he was already pumping gas. And I stepped out, I happened to be driving my wife's car back from getting brakes the other day. And so I had to fill it up with gas. And he had an F-250, solid white, tinted windows, huge rims and tires on it. I love this stuff. I didn't want to drool, but I had to say something. I said, dude, are those like 20s on fuel rims? And I knew they were fuel rims. And he goes, oh man, yeah. And he immediately, I didn't even have to say anything else, he immediately told me where he bought the rims, how much he paid for them, what the address of that shop is in Allendale so I could go there. He showed me his Ford emblem on the back that was painted white with silver Ford letters on it. He showed me the tinted lights in the front and the back. He was so proud of his truck, and all I had to say was, wow, that's beautiful. Are those 20 on fuels? I grabbed him right where he was, right? Introduce yourself. You know the situations you'll be in. And the objective there is you don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to close the deal. You don't have to invite them to your church or bring them to a Jesus moment on day one. It starts with a conversation. There are times for Jesus moments, and you'll know when that is. Listen well is the L. Listen well. Here's the hardest part. Once you memorize your introduction, you actually have to listen and be quiet. We're terrible at this. You know why? Because we're thinking about what we're going to say next, right? I don't want to be dumb, so I got to, what's the next line I memorized? Romans 8:28. I don't know. And so when you listen intentionally and patiently, actually paying attention to what the other person is saying, looking at their gestures, their facial expressions, instead of practicing what you're going to say next, you'll have something to say. If I'm just thinking about what I'm going to say and I'm not really listening to you, you're going to be done talking, and I'm going to be startled, and the conversation's going to stop. Listen, you already did a good job at introducing yourself and presenting a conversation point, and you need to trust that. Then listen for if they engage, what they say. Maybe it'll be an easy response, like, I'd love to come to your house for a barbecue. Or maybe they'll go on a tangent, and you'll be talking about bicycles or hiking, and they'll go, I love this, but oh, the pain, and they let you in. Or they say, oh man, you know, just that song just brings heartache to me. It makes me remember, true story, my father actually passed away, and there are some songs that I have a hard time listening to today, and it's only been 3 years. For some of you, you know that. That's part of your story too. Music can bring you to a place in a second. And maybe someone will tell you about a pain that's not even brand new. Or maybe they'll even talk to you about their faith. I told you where I live. I have the privilege to talk to a lot of people who walk past our house. And it wasn't that long ago that we had a knock on the door early, very early, before work. And we couldn't answer the door. We weren't dressed yet. So finally, my wife was able to answer the door. And he asked if I was home. And she said, hang on a second, you know, can you come back? And he did, exactly when she asked him to. And I went out to talk to him, and his thing to me was, I need someone to talk to. Are you a Christian? And this was after 3 years of just saying hi. I just don't know what God is going to do. But when you do a good job at introducing yourself, and the Holy Spirit in all of the Spirit's sovereignty creates a moment, maybe they'll even stop. Maybe they won't engage at all. Maybe they'll just think you're an idiot from outer space talking to somebody you don't know. I don't know. But if they engage, you've listened and you're ready to go. And then the last one is good follow-up. That's the G, good follow-up. Knowing that you don't have to close the deal actually takes some pressure off. Just engage with joy in genuine, real conversation. Be listening for what they offer back. You could even simply say, tell me about that. And they will. Most teachers, when they teach about good conversations, begin with teaching us how to listen, how to close our mouths. Some would say, God gave you one mouth, two ears, use them proportionately. What are they interested in talking about? What are they offering? That's what we want to listen for. And most often it's about a Ford, right? A family, an occupation, a recreation, or a dream. You know your family, an occupation, and recreation, and dream. So be ready to engage at that level, right? You know so many things, and if we're prepared, we'll be able to do it. You are wonderful. You are normal. Say right if that's true for you. One person in this room is wonderful and normal. So I know you're not used to dialogue. I dialogue a lot when I teach. But I want you to know you are normal. You're amazing. God gave you an amazing life in an amazing country, living in one of the most beautiful places in the United States that doesn't have mountains. We have a lot to talk about. Be thinking about how amazing God is in your life and share some of that joy, right? Because it's okay to be uncomfortable. And you might be uncomfortable, and I'm uncomfortable right now. I'm sweating right now. It's my story that I sweat through my shirt every Sunday morning when I teach. At the very least, if you're uncomfortable, you'll meet your dry cleaner. Right? Yes.
Is your tie sweaty?
My tie's not sweaty. Do you know why?
You don't wear one.
I don't wear one. These are my preaching jeans. It's okay to be uncomfortable. Be comfortable being uncomfortable. And let those people in. And remember that you are amazing. If at least you'll get to meet the dry cleaners, imagine what the best part of that could be. That you'll engage the work of the Holy Spirit and that person will become a believer. That they'll journey with you in discipleship and you might get to live with them forever in a mansion in glory. We don't know what the opportunities are. But my time is almost up, so look where we are. You have survived being uncomfortable. You did it. I don't know when the last time you came up to somebody you didn't know very well and just gave them a big old hug. But you did it. You actually have a list of people's names who need Jesus, and they might need you to help them to know Jesus. You have a few ideas of what you could do together. You have a few ways to introduce yourself and learn about them. You know what to say, hi, my name is, how to engage them around something that you're observing in their life. And then as you listen, you'll have just a good follow-up. You have these things in your life. So I want to close with some encouragement. Matthew 4, 18 to 20. This is really a harder verse than we think it is. If, you know, a lot of our Bibles are just two-dimensional, right? If you open yours three-dimensional and you let the pop-up story come up, listen to what these fishers had to actually do. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake because they were fishermen. It's what they did. It was their occupation. They were comfortable with that. They knew what to do. They knew how to mend nets at night or during the day if they fished at night. They knew how to do all those things. And Jesus said, come follow me and I will send you out to fish for people. And at once, listen to the logistics, they left behind their work, their father, their boat, their nets. They left their nets and they followed him. You see, the thing about knowing Jesus and being comfortable with him is that we're also tempted then to migrate to the people who know Jesus and we're comfortable with them. And so Jesus comes to those guys and he says, okay, now take all of that goodness, take those skills and abilities and that knowledge and you're going to employ them in a new arena and I'm going to take you up out of your comfort zone and I'm going to haul you off over here and you're going to take some of what you know and what you are, beautiful and normal and all that, and you're going to use them here. And maybe that's part of our call, and maybe that's why we need to be okay being uncomfortable, is because God is going to call us out of those little circles where everybody we know is Christian, and we're going to begin to pray for those people with stars by their names, and we're going to begin to make room in our life to invite new people, because with the skills and the beauty and the history and your story, the redemptive story in your life, God can use that to build a new relationship with someone that he's already calling to himself. That's why this is so powerful and hard. 1 Peter 3:15. I'm sorry, let's go to, this is actually Romans, right? Romans 10:14. How can they call on someone they haven't believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And I don't think this is a text about Sunday mornings. I don't think so. Preaching to them. And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? I think that's what it's about. Being hauled up from the fishing places we're comfortable and being put in a new environment. Unless they're sent. For as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. You see, when I call you beautiful, I didn't make it up. God thinks you're beautiful. Because he made you in his image, in his likeness. And he's recreating his redeemed people to look like his son. You are beautiful. And you've been given the greatest gift, the power of the gospel, which is salvation. And we get to bring that to people. 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the Christian Reformed doctrines that are in the back of your songbook. It's not at all what it says, is it? Rick Warren, Saddleback Church, he said that one of the reasons the church is dying is because we're prepared to give them our doctrine, but what the world is for is looking for our hope. And I think he's right. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do it with gentleness and respect. Don't jam it down their throats. See, I trust a God who's sovereign and whose spirit is already there working in the hearts of all humankind that he's calling to himself. And I'm a co-worker. I just get to show up where he is already and participate in his deal. And so he calls me to be prepared to build a relationship so I can talk about my hope. To tell you that although I have disappointments and heartbreak and pain and old voices in my life and stories that still make me weep at 56, even though I have that, I have a hope. And when I do funerals, even funerals for family, I can tell them that we don't mourn as those who do with no hope at all. You see, because I have a future. My Savior's coming back for me, and he'll gather me up either from the grave or if I'm left alive, I'll follow those who are in the grave, and I will meet him in the air. People need to know about that hope, that they have life today and life eternal in Jesus Christ. You don't have to have memorized the Heidelberg Catechism or systematic theology or the doctrine of end times. I've studied all of those things. Not very many people ask me about them. But we have a hope, and we should be ready to talk about that. Because they care less about what we know, but they care that we have a hope and a future and that we love them and that in Jesus Christ they can have a purpose in life. When we have a relationship and God moves in the heart of someone else to know him, guess what? You're already there. You're the one who gets to introduce them to the one whose name is Jesus, the one who is their Savior. And isn't that what we really want anyway? To have every seat in heaven's banquet room filled up. There's nothing better to do with your life, I promise you. And if the foundation of ministry, if the dynamite of discipleship is relationship, now you have some tools to build a new relationship that brings life so they can belong with you in that relationship and they can begin to believe. People belong before they believe and they believe before they understand. You get to be a part of that amazing journey. So yay, God, and yay, you. You are here tonight. And you are beautiful. If I can give you a blessing, often for me it's out of number 6 when I lead in worship. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. You know that. You've heard that. It's my favorite. The blessing I would give you tonight is do it afraid. There's a young gal who's been going to Alive for about 4 years, and this is her mantra. She's off now. I don't know if she's in the Philippines or Taiwan or Australia. I don't know where she is. But she's on a journey of 6 months to learn to be a disciple. So she's being trained and equipped and 6 months to go be that disciple and employ her knowledge. And she stood in front of us with great emotion and trepidation when we sent her off, shaking in her boots, maybe literally. I don't know what shoes she was wearing. But her testimony was, I'm going to do this afraid. I'm uncomfortable with this. But I'm learning to be comfortable in being uncomfortable. And the reason is, we have to. New people come to church not because your minister is great, not because your programs are great. 75 to 90% of all new people who come to church do it because someone invited them. You and I are that someone. And now we're equipped. Amen. Let me pray. It's going to be from Philippians 4, 6, and 7. I'll close this in prayer. Father, help us not to be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition and with a heart full of thanks,
Help us to present our requests to you. God, help me to remember my name. Help me to remember their name. Help me to know what to say. Help me to have courage to go into that place. And we ask, God, that your peace, which transcends all understanding, which moves far beyond my level of uncomfortability, that because of you and that you've guarded my heart and my mind, I'll do it. I'll be an obedient disciple. I ask for this blessing so that your banquet room will be filled, that your heart will be filled with joy, and that my life will fulfill the purposes for which you created me. I pray it in Jesus' name, and I thank you for this moment. All God's people said,
amen. Amen.
Hey, thanks for letting me spend an hour with you tonight. I hope it was valuable for you. I had a really good time meeting you.